Okay, let's figure out the paragimel. Paragimel. So we did already the first seven sug. We did Rashi. We did the tzudos. Now let's go through the targum first, and then we'll do some midrashim, and then we have some ideas, other related ideas, and then we'll go further. Okay, so let's see the targumim on pasuk start from the very beginning.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, targum on pasuk aleph. Pasuk aleph says lechol gvar. I'll read the pasuk. Lechol zman ve'eis chol chefetz tachas hashemayim. For everything there is a time, and there is an eis for every chefetz tachas hashemayim. We discussed yesterday. Chefetz means one of two things. Either means a desire. There's a time for a person to desire every type of item listed in the following sukkim, and according to Rashi, means there's a time for every davar, every matter. Very, very, very big difference in the interpretation. Though the whole flow of the sukkim has a whole different flavor based upon the translation of the word chavetz. The Targum says, "L'chol givar." First thing you have to notice, the adds in every purpose, yesei zimna. Every purpose comes a time. Yes means comes, zimna a time, the idna. And idna means the same thing as time and ace, l'chol iska t'choshmaya, for every dealing underneath the heaven.
Gvar, more like a person.
A gvar, yes. Yeah, so there's two words here. There is only one word. Gvar, yeah. So
you said what you were saying yesterday, l'chol, you know, everybody has a time. Born at a certain time.
At a certain, he's born in a certain tafkit. Okay, so he only has one word, only word givar, not enosh, right? L'chol, but he adds that in. He definitely, that is not something which is part of the pasuk. So it would seem, it could possibly be that he's learning the pasuk different than the Mitzudas and Rashi. Every person has l'chol givar yesei zimno. The idono, and there is an idon, an ace, l'chol iska, for every asek. Asek is not the same thing as davar, as a matter. And it does not mean a desire. It appears that the Targum is translating the word chefetz different than Rashi and the Mitzudos. It's not a desire. It's not a davar. It's an asek. An asek is the dealing, something which a person, an activity to chos kol shemai. Okay, pasuk base.
Is that an opportunity that there's a time? I'm referring to that everyone has a certain time when an opportunity arises, and then you have to take advantage of it, or something along those lines.
That's definitely true. There's an asek. Asek here, his words are an activity. Asek is an activity. There's an activity for everything to chos shemaya. Okay, not like Rashi and the Mitzudos. Right? The Mitzudos is a chefetz does not mean an activity. It means a desire. And Rashi says asek to chefetz means a matter. Okay, let's see. Pasuk base. Ace the letters face the mus, ace latas, ace lakonatu. There's a time to be born, a time to be rashid, a time to give birth, 9 months, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to be oiker natua. The Targum says idon. Bechir lemela. There's a time that's. Now he adds this word into all of the psukim that we're going to see. Bechir. Bechir means a chosen time. This is his embellishment into the pasuk. There's a chosen time lemela to be born. Benin, lemeilad, to give birth to children. So he's learning over here, it's not a time for you to be born. Okay, loledas, we would simply mean when a person himself comes into this world. Here it says, idon bechir, there's a select time, lemeilad, benin uvinon, to give birth to children. There's a select time to produce children. The idon bechir, there's a chosen time, lekatolah, to kill. Now here's something very shocking. He's referring over to Ben Soirer Umoirer. There is a time when a parent has an obligation to bring about the death of his children. When will that be so? Parshas Kiseitse. A person has a child who's a Ben Soirer Umoirer. He has to go to Bezdin and say, my son is a Ben Soirer Umoirer, and please put him to death. Shocking thing, that's how we learn Shad the Pasek. There's a time to give birth to children. Idan is a time bechir lekatala benin to go bring about the death of children misarvin who are refused umar gizin and who anger their parents or anger Hakadosh Baruch Hu. What are you supposed to do with them? Lekatalus hoin beavnaya, to stone them to death. Ugomu kol anshe, what does the pasuk say? Ugomu kol anshe. Kol ho'edah. So the whole assembly has to put them to death. The people, the Ben Samora, al meimar dayano, through the. Okay, so the avnaya al meim. Okay, so the anger of Kodesh Baruch Hu, when the time for them comes to be put to death, the Mar Likato Lusoin Be'avnaya, Al Meimar Dayonaya, through the command of the judges, Edon, then he goes further to say there is a time, Bechir, a select time, Lemin Tzav Ilon, to plant trees. The Edon Bechir, there's a chosen time, Lishorosho Ilon Itziv, to uproot trees. Okay, so the thing that he's adding over here in this pasuk is when it says an ace does not just mean a time, it means a chosen time. It's a special time. There are many times in this world, but they're not necessarily the right time. There's a chosen time for all of these things to happen, and he says the very big chiddush, the letters means it's a time for a parent to have children. There's a time when it's right to have children, and there's a time when a parent, lomus, means to bring about the death of these children in a situation where they are ben soirer umoire. Okay, very interesting interpretation. Okay, now, what?
Yeah. Translates Gevar as a man.
As a man, yeah, of course, the Gevar. There's a Gevar, but a Gevar has a connotation of a powerful person, a Gibor. And then there's the Enosh, has a connotation of the weakness of it, the frailness of a human being. Okay, then we come to Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, Ace Laharoig the Ace Lirpo. There's a time to murder, a time to heal. Ace Lefotz, Ace Levnos. So the Targum says, Edom Bechir, there's a chosen time, Lekatullah. To kill, when to kill, how is this now referring to killing your children because of their ben Saramara, but rather, Lekatullah Bikrova, in war. We have to go to war. We have to go to war against the Shiva Sa'anim, and Muhammad's mitzvah, to wipe out the Canaan from Eretz Yisrael. The Idan Bechid is a chosen time, La'asa'a, Shechiv Meira, to heal a person who's deathly ill. Idan is a time, now interesting, why does he have to say Shechiv Meira? What's wrong about healing a person who's not deathly ill? A person who is a Chol Sha'in by Sakana. I don't know why, but that's what the Targum says. The time lirpo here means to heal a person who is deathly ill. Normally a Shechiv Meira is a person there's no hope. That's the way we normally assume in Chazal. Someone who's a Shechiv Meira, that has a connotation that he's beyond hope. It's just a matter of time until he dies. But yet it says here, there's a time where you lirpo to heal.
Then you shouldn't give up.
Never give up. That's what it means. There's even hope. Could be.
Sometimes, you know, you say, listen, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to try. So then you have permission to, you know, say it's God's will.
No, there's a time
to
heal even a person who's a shchiv meira. La'asa'a shchiv meira. Idon bechir liforocha bin yana, to destroy, to lifrots means to destroy a building, to demolish a structure. Idon bechir, there's a chosen time, l'mivnei churbanon. And notice what he says over here, very fascinating, when he says livnos, does not mean to build new construction. Does not mean to build a new skyscraper. It means to rebuild. That's what it says. L'mivnei, to build churbanot, to rebuild something that has previously been destroyed. Okay, that's very interesting. Now, we'll see the Midrashim soon. I mean, a lot of these things fit the old Midrashim where we were talking about building the Beis HaMikdash. When it says here, there's a time lifrot, when Hashem decided that it's in the best interest of Klal Yisrael that the Beis HaMikdash be destroyed, so that Hashem would not have to pour out His punishment, His anger upon us. So in exchange of pouring out His anger upon us, He pours out His anger upon bricks and stones, upon the Beis HaMikdash. And then when it says Livnos, it means to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. When we think about the third Beis HaMikdash, we're not thinking about a new Beis HaMikdash. We're thinking about the rebuilding of the old Beis HaMikdash. So that's seemingly what the Targum alludes to here as well. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet said, Ace Livkos, the time to cry, Ace Lishok, the time to laugh, Ace Sefod, Ace Rekod, the time to eulogize, the time to dance. Targum Pasuk Dalet says, Eden Bechid is a chosen time, Lemivke, to cry for what? So you can cry for many things. You can cry for spilled milk. You can cry for your cat. You can cry for a loss of money, if your candidate does not win the election, there's also what to cry about. So here it says, no, very precisely the Targum says, Idan b'chir l'mifkei al shechiva, for the dead, referring specifically to the loss of life. V'idan b'chir, there's a chosen time, l'michdei b'chocha, to joke. L'michdei b'chocha means a joke. L'michdei means to rejoice with laughter. Okay, there's time to rejoice. V'idan b'chir l'mispat al ketila, to eulogize a person that has been killed. Idan b'chir l'tapoza b'hilu, and there's a time to dance behilulah. Hilulah means at a wedding. Targum is adding into the pasuk that the rekod is not just dancing, it's dancing at a hilulah. Hilulah means a wedding. You can dance, go to a Hanukkah mesiba, you can dance. You can go to a bar mitzvah, you can dance. You can dance and anytime you want, you can dance. But he learns the Indian of Rukod here, specifically referring to dancing at a wedding. Kipasik hey, Eitz lahashlich avonim ve'eitz kinos avonim, is a time to cast away stones, a time to gather in stones. Eitz lahavoik ve'eitz lirchoik mechabek, a time to embrace, a time to distance oneself from embracing. Targum pasuk hey, idan b'chir, there's a chosen time, lefakocho degor avnin, to lefakocho means to inspect, like a pikeach, to inspect a degor. Degor means like a gal, like a pile of avnin, of stones. In other words, sometimes a person can be buried underneath a pile of stones. This is a discussion in Masechta Shabbos. If chas v'shalom, a building collapses upon a person, so you're allowed to remove the stones to search if the person is still alive. Even though by moving the stones, it's muksa, you're violating the laws of muksa, but ein dover oimein mibnei bikuach nefesh. Even if there's a very, very small chance that, yes, stone is muksa, it's not, what?
You can touch the stone,
but you can't move it. Muksa, all muksa, you're allowed to touch. A stone, it's not, has no purpose. It's muksa, even though it was part of the building, it's muksa machmas atzma. A stone is muksa, or it's muksa machmas iso. If the stone is attached to a building, it can even be muksa machmas iso, because the only way to remove it is through demolishing, which would be a malacha deraisa of soiser. But if a building collapses, the stones are muksa machmas atzma, because they serve no function. But if a person, of course, is buried underneath the pile of stones, you're allowed to remove the stones to see if the person is still alive. But it's muksa, or pikuach nefesh. You're telling, but there's only a 1% chance he's alive. The chance his life is not is very, very, very slim. It doesn't matter. You're allowed to move the stones, and that's what the Targum appears to be saying. Even the chiyud is a select time lefakocha, to inspect the gor avnin, to inspect a pile of stones, and then when you're going to inspect the pile of stones, you're going to be pulling them away to see what's underneath, what's buried underneath. The idan b'chir is a chosen time to limit spar avnim levinyana, to pile, to bring together many stones together into one big pile. Idan b'chir is a time li gofofa itasa. There's a time now here when it says chavoik, to embrace. Who are you embracing? Well, you can embrace your fellow man, right? You can hug someone. So here it's referring specifically to a woman. Referring to a person's wife, there's a time when a person's wife is not in nida, ligofofa itisa, to embrace a woman. Very powerful word the Targum adds into this. I'm surprised it wasn't censored.
Well, in this general, maybe one of the reasons
what?
That they generally did sense, you know, they would nicknames the whole sefer initially.
Well, right. Well, the safe, okay.
So they didn't have to pick out a word. They didn't let people read.
The whole thing, the whole Shir HaShirim. Yeah. Shir HaShirim is...
Get back to the other person. The word Hilula.
Yeah.
That's used by your side. Young Hilula.
Okay. You're saying good, okay. Hilulah. If I'm not mistaken, I think by a yard sale, when they say Hilulah, it's a borrowed term.
Right.
The real word is used in reference to a wedding. Like they say, Bei Hilulah. Chatoif Echol, Chatoif Echol, Ki Hay Alma, Ki Bei Hilulah Damya. Grab and eat, because this world is like a wedding hall. A Bei Hilulah. What's a wedding hall? When you come to the wedding, there's a lot of food. But if you come the next morning to the wedding hall and you send one breakfast, sorry, buddy, the wedding was last night. There was nothing left. You have to chop around when you have an opportunity. When the opportunity passes, it's too late. So here it's okay. So I think the main word for hilul means a wedding, and that's what it's in the previous pasuk referring to the dancing on time of a wedding. Okay, in this pasuk it talks about embracing a woman. Chavoy chavoy specifically refers to a woman, not a woman. The idan bechir lerachalka mi gofafa when. So he writes over something very interesting. B'shivas yomei evla. Okay, this is a very bizarre targum where he says a man has to distance himself from his wife when he is in a state of avelos. Well, what about when she is in nidra? What about on Yom Kippur? What about on Tisha B'Av? What about all of these things? No, for whatever bizarre reason, the targum selected the time when a man must distance himself from his wife is when he is shivas yoimei evlo. And indeed, there are a lot of complicated halachas, all the rules of sneis that apply during the days of avelus. And for whatever reason, that's what he is focusing on. So it's very interesting. Go back to the pasuk hey, eis lahashlech avanim simply means you're allowed to move away stones. A person is buried. A person may be trapped underneath those stones. So it's advisable you should pull away all the stones to see maybe you can save his life. The eis kino savanim, and then there is a time to make a pile of stones. The Targum does not tell us the significance of why you would want to do that. Okay, he leaves that detail out. Eis lachavik, a time to embrace a woman, and then there's a time to distance oneself from embracing a woman during the days of Avelos. Okay, I don't know more than that. Let's see Pasuk next. Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav.
That translation, because it's patently obvious. You know, ain't of all major things who are nefesh, so we know that.
So what does he mean then?
No.
I don't know the answer.
No, because sometimes you may feel like it's, you know, you don't want to literally throw stones. If there's a time to throw stones.
Yes, yes. Okay, we're going to see the Midrash.
Remove stones from a body to see if somebody's living underneath.
Well, look at
it. I just don't think that's what he would have had in mind. Because that's not godless from Shlomo.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, we learned Rashi. Rashi says, Lahashlech Avonim means children. We learned yesterday Rashi. Rashi translates, Lahashlech Avonim means children. And Avonim is from the word, the Shosh of Ben.
Right.
And there's a time when Hashem says, I'm going to cause the children of Klal Yisrael to perish, or to go into exile. And that was at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Nevuzaradan, he killed 80,000 children. And during the Bayis Sheni, I think Josephus writes, I think it's 87,000 young men were taken as captives. So okay, that's Rashi. What did the Mitzudah say on this, on these words? Just give me one moment. The Mitzudos. You should not stumble. Simple, right? Just move away stones that you should not stumble on the stones. So obviously everyone has a different. I'll show you soon we have the Midrashim. I'll tell you now, Lahashlech Avonim, the Midrash is going to say to Moshe Rabbeinu he destroyed the Luchos. The Luchos are called Avonim. Hashem made the Luchos Masil Lekim Hema, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew the time had come when he should destroy, he should shatter the Luchos. He took the Luchos, and he was Mashlich Avonim. And then there was a time when Moshe Rabbeinu should gather stones by making Psal Luchos Shnei Luchos Avonim. Hashem told Moshe, you shall
take the stones and put it there, no?
Hashem told him, you shall quarry new stones upon which I will etch, I will write the Aseres Adibros, the second set of Luchos. So everyone over here has a different take. Yeah, but we have four different translations for the word Hashlech Avonim. Mitzudos, it's a stumbling block. It's a danger. It's a sakana in the street. Don't have a stone lying on the street. Someone's going to get hurt. Rashi, Avonim, there's a time when Hashem says, I'm going to cause children to perish. Achman Litzlan. Targum, Lahashlech Avonim, it appears there's a person buried in a pile of stone, and you want to go take away the stones to see if he's still alive. He was trapped underneath a pile of stones. According to the Medrash, Lahashlech Avonim is the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu was now going to take the Luchos and shatter the Luchos. Lahashlech to throw down Avonim. So you see the richness of these psukim. Even one similar little thing can be interpreted in so many different ways.
Rashi is saying Hashem would do with these children, and right.
So the Malma says it's
Churban.
I mean, like
directing his remarks to whatever.
Al pi ruach hakodesh.
No, isn't he speaking to?
Oh, that's the big question, right? So that's. So that is the big mystery. Who are we referring to? That's what we started with yesterday in the Hakdama to this psukim when it says ve'es l'chol chefetz tachas hashemayim. What does it mean l'chol chefetz tachas hashemayim? So we saw three very different interpretations. The Mitzudos said it means desire. A human being, we're discussing not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we are referring to a human being that there are times when a person should want to do something. Rashi translated the word chefetz to mean a davar, which fits, it's consistent with Rashi. There are times, there are predetermined times for certain events to happen. And the Targum says something a little bit different. There's an asek, there's an activity. Whose activity? Is it Hashem's activity or is it man's activity? It has a different flavor. The Targum, then Rashi and the Mitzudos. So you have over here.
I think coming from a man of Shlomo trying to impart deep wisdom, it has to be more in terms of Churban, because he's saying, you think it's 40 years of peace, we're going through nice times, don't think that God won't destroy the Beis HaMikdash as well. Don't think it won't happen.
Well, that's really what it said in the previous parak.
That's what I would think that Shlomo would have had in mind, having some Nevuhu HaKodesh, being Shlomo HaMelech, or else. Has to be saying something very deep. This is the end of his life when he's mulling over the events of the world and having a deep understanding.
Absolutely.
Not,
Yeah.
Dead body under a pile of stones.
Yeah, I can't say. Yeah. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means. Look at those words. It just says, "Idon dechir lifa kocho de gor avnin," to inspect. To inspect I don't know what to say, but that's what it says.
That's the way I would look at it.
Yeah, of course. But
I mean, if any of us would have written it, maybe that's a message, but then I would be more blunt. Yeah. This is Shlomo.
Okay, let's see further. Now we come to Pasuk. Yeah.
Is there a methodology? Shlomo has a methodology. The first paragraph talking about the same word, door, and sobiv, sobev, and then the second paragraph spoke about chacham, and this section here has all ace. So he takes one time.
I am panim l'Torah, absolutely. I also have to also know that the program, the way they're broken up for us, is not necessarily what Shlomo had in mind. Because the chapter breaks were inserted by the Christians. And in fact, we learned yesterday that the first pasuk, according to Rashi, is a direct continuation to the previous parak. In the previous parak, the last thing Shlomo Melech said was that the Rasha has the desire to accumulate wealth, and it's only going to be, the pasuk can conclude only for the purpose of ultimately transferring that wealth to the tzaddikim. And then this pasuk says, but you got to be patient. You got to ace lakol zaman. That actual transfer from the Rasha, who spent all of his days accumulating wealth, to the tzaddik, will come at the time when Hashem desires. So, according to Rashi, the end of Perek Beis directly continues into Perek Gimel. There is no chapter break. So, you have to know where to break everything up. Okay, let's see the next one. Pasuk Vav, Eis Levakesh, Eis Labeid, Eis Lishmar, Eis, the time to seek, a time to destroy, a time to guard, and a time Lahashlich. And notice Lahashlich is a repetition of what it's in the Pasuk Hey. In Pasuk Hey, it said Eis Lahashlich Avonim. Here it just says Eis Lahashlich. So, what does this mean according to the Targum? Pasuk from the Targum, Eden Bechid is a chosen time, Linmitba Nichsaya. Linmitba means to seek. When Linmitba means to request, to be toiveya, to demand. Someone may have in their possession your assets. And the time comes when you know he's about to escape to another country, you want to make sure that you get your property before he disappears. There's a chosen time, Linmitba. Linmitba means to demand from your fellow Nichsaya assets. The Idon Bechir, there's a chosen time, Lemevad Nichsaya, to lose. For whatever reason, you want to dump your a pilot that's flying in the Sakana, they tell him to dump the fuel in the Atlantic, because you don't want to have too much fuel when you land, you want to lighten the plane. Idan Bechir, there's a time, Lemintar Iska, to guard. Iska means an activity. or some type of business arrangement, v'idan b'chir l'mishtei iska, to abandon, to cast away iska, b'yam. Now here he says something extremely bizarre, the Targum, b'yama, in the sea. So he says, number one, l'hashlich means to throw into the sea. Not like in Pasuk Hey where it said, just stam yi l'hashlich avarim, to move away the stones. Here we're taking an asik and we're throwing it into the sea. And when? B'idan nach shola rabba, at the time of a great storm. You're on a ship, and the ship is caught in a storm, and it's tossing and turning. It would be a good idea now to take all your assets and throw them into the sea. Why would you want to do that? I guess to lighten the ship. The ship's going to sink. And over here in this Yonah, exactly, quite so Yonah. It says there by Yonah, before they went and they threw Yonah, people, they first took all the assets overboard. That's how he interprets this pasuk. Now he brings over here also a story. He says, is it what? Tashlich, throw all of your sins. Okay, you want to throw Tashlich bim sulas yom kol chatoi sam in a chanami, you throw into the sea all of your sins. He doesn't say that. Okay, nachshalah. Nachshoyle here means a storm. Nachshoyle Rabba, a very great storm. Now he quotes a medrash. I believe this is a medrash. It tells a very interesting story where there was a passenger ship traveling dangerous waters, and among the passengers was a father and son. And the captain and the crew got figured out. The captain, I guess, and the crew realized that the father and son had in their possession some treasures, had some very valuable goods. So they decided among themselves, we'll kill them, we'll throw them overboard, and we'll divide up the booty, we'll take their treasure, keep it for ourselves. So the captain says, you know, I realize you have here a very expensive treasure, it's not a good idea that everyone should see. Why don't you go down? We have a nice special room downstairs. Go down into the basement of the ship, whatever, to the cellar, whatever it is, whatever you call it. Put it there, and you stay there. So they went down there, and they put it away. And then the father and son realized what was going on, what they were planning to do to them. So they came up with a plan. They started to scream at each other. The father and the son, they started screaming, "Kolos, Kolos Subrakim!" And then the father got up and he took all of his assets, this package, his luggage. He comes to the top of the ship and he throws the luggage overboard. So the crew, the captain and the sailors, they look at what happened. So he says, "I got into a fight with my son. My son wants half of my nechassim." I said, "How dare you? I worked my whole life and you want to take away all my..." So he got into a fight and said, "You're not going to have it, I'm going to destroy it." And he threw it over. Now the reason why the father and son did this is because the father and son realized if they wouldn't do this, they'll kill them and they'll take it for themselves. So they made belief. So then they came to shore, so they didn't kill them because there's no reason to kill them anymore. So they came to shore, they went to the police and they told them they want the captain and the sailors to pay for all of the assets, all the luggage. Why? Because the only reason why we had to throw it overboard was because they were going to kill us. And the police decided that you're right, and they punished. I guess there was an investigation, and they were proved to be correct. And they forced the captain and the sailors to pay the father and son for the lost wealth that was thrown overboard. No, so that's what it says over here. That's the Medrash says that's what it means over here. That's exactly what it means over here. Eis lehashlich. That's what it means over here in the Targum. There's a time over here to throw overboard into the Nachshol. The Eden Bechir. I skipped the passage. There's a time. The Eden Bechir lemishtei iska biyama. The Eden Nachshol Rabba. Nachshol Rabba means a very great storm, but the storm does not only mean a storm when the sea is waging, but it means when people are stormed, when there's a fight over money. Sometimes the best thing is, it's a very powerful Lima Musa, when everyone is fighting over money, sometimes the best thing to do is to destroy the money. Because if you'll destroy the money, there'll be nothing to fight about. Then people will come together, will be happy with one another. That's the message, that's the Lima Musa. The father and son...
Saying, my kids won't fight over the inheritance.
There's nothing there. I mean, I once went to a rabbi, and he was saying there with his brother. It wasn't a youngster, and his father died, and he's saying, "By us, there's no machlekes of the Yerusha." There's no. He was like bragging, and he's saying, "There's no machlekes. We're so happy. We're good. You see, we're sitting here together." As you want to know why there's no machlekes? Because there's not even one penny. There's nothing.
You'd be surprised. I know one where they were fighting, all the people on these sides were laughing because they were fighting over a mop.
A mop.
A mop and a broken back.
And they didn't want to talk to each other because of the map. Okay, I remember in the other study, there was once a father, he died, he didn't live very much, but he had left over a gold cane or a silver cane, some very expensive cane, which in the eyes of the children was very symbolic. Like they always remember their father with this cane. So there were a number of children, they all began to fight who gets to keep the cane. So they went to a din Torah. And the Rav saw there's going to be no solution to settle the problem. So he said, I'll tell you what, I don't know who should get the cane. It's a very big problem. I'll just give you a bracha. The one that gets the cane will be the one that gets to use it first. So when they heard that, all of a sudden, no one wanted the cane. That was the end of the fight.
No, but I think that that last shot is... Because everything in the pasuk here is a pair. In other words, one is juxtaposed to the other. There, it's a combination. Ace levakeshim,
right.
Slave. Sometimes you want to look for something. Sometimes it's time to be miyayim on something. And sometimes you have to keep something.
Right.
Sometimes you got to throw it overboard.
Got to throw it overboard. Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's it fits well into the Targum.
Right.
Right. It's a part of the opposite lishmar. You want to guard the money, but sometimes no, guarding money is a curse. If we're going to have this money, they're going to kill us. So we have no choice but lahashlich, to throw it away at the time of words of.
Malcolm says by ashlichin al eretz acheres. So as opposed to what we said in conjunction with what I said before, it's the Beis HaMikdash not only could be destroyed, but also the people will be, you know, you're not going to stay in Eretz Israel after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. It could also be worse than that. It'll be Vayashlichem Mel Eretz Acheres.
To another land,
so,
okay.
God will chase you out of the land as well.
So Lishma is to guard you in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a time like the person needs to throw you out of Eretz Yisrael. Many perushim to what these expressions mean. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Zayin, Ace Likroya. The ace lispa, there's a time to rip and a time to stitch together. Ace lachashay, it's a time to be silent. The ace lidaber. Okay, the Targum Pasuk Zayin says, even b'chid is a chosen time. Lemivza levusha, why would you want to rip a garment? So he adds, al shechiva, for the dead. For Avelos, Kriya for Avelos. That doesn't necessarily have to. What did Rashi say? Rashi says ripping was in reference to the Aseres Hashvatim. The Aseres Hashvatim were ripped away from Rechavam. The Malchus was divided, and a time of stitching means when will be reunification, when time of Mashiach, when all of the 12 Shvatim will be reunited once again under the banner of David HaMelech. But it's not what the Targum says. The Targum says that the garment is ripped all over the dead in mourning. The idon bechir le'acho'o bezia, and then there's a time to bring together kriya to la'ached. There's a time le'acho'o. La'acho means to make one. What? To make one, to stitch together, to reunite.
The broad stitches.
And the Gemara talks about how you sew up. Bezia means the rip, what has been ripped. Now, what's very interesting is that when you stitch something together, it's not the same. Okay, it's still defective. Okay, you can stitch it together, you can sew it together, but it's not the same as something that never has been broken. On the other hand, you can say just the opposite. We have this rule that, well, who is more tar? Who is more tar? Someone that was never tame, or a person that was tame and became tar? So the Rambam says, the person that was tame and became tar, he is in a higher madrega than a person who never became tame. Because upon him, the Torah says, he's tar. The Torah never says a person is tame A person who is never Tamei is tar. So we can say a similar idea. You have something that's been ripped. Okay, you have a garment. You don't appreciate the fact that it's one. When something is cut into two, and you bring it back together, okay, mitzad echad, it's not complete. But you definitely appreciate the fact that it has been reunified. When Klal Yisrael will come back together, according to Rashi, at the time of Mashiach, when all the 12 Shvatim will once again be unified under one Melech, will that be a strength or a weakness? I guess it's both. You can never really take away the history of the division in Klal Yisrael, but Achdus after division also has a degree of a stronger type of peace. Okay, then the next words of the Targum are, there's a time of Eden Bechir L'mishtak Nili Natsa'ah. There's a time when it's good to be quiet from quarreling. So here he's saying something very different than what we're going to see in the Medrash. Let me just give you some background. The Medrash says, Vayidoim Aroin. There's a time to be quiet, Rachmana Litzlan, in response to a tragedy. Tragedy, the best thing is, Vayidoim Aroin is to be quiet. That's not what the Targum says. Targum says here, there's a machloikis that is simmering between friends, between two business partners, whoever they are, and there's a time, don't let the machloikis get worse. Just keep it to a minimum. L'mishtak, to be quiet, mi li natsa'ah, from quarreling. V'idon, and there is a time, b'chid is a chosen time, l'malala, to speak piskame matsusa, to speak words of strife. Sometimes you have to fight. You're not allowed to be quiet. You have to speak up and you have to say your piece in order that you should not allow the enemy to take advantage of you. Okay, so this is how the Targum learned Shan the Pasuk, different than Rashi again, because Rashi, he said, how did Rashi say, like I told you, Vayidim Aaron was to be quiet, and Ledaber was to speak Oz, Yosha, Moshe, all the different types of eloquent speeches that were made in the Torah.
Has to do with Avelis also.
What?
Has to do with Avelis that when you go to see someone who's saying Shiva, you don't speak. You wait for them to speak to you.
Right.
Speak to them.
You have to be very good. When you come to Menachem Oval, you're not supposed to say the first word. You're supposed to wait for them to speak up, right? So you're supposed to be quiet until, and then there's a time Ludaber when they begin to speak to you.
Achare means immediately.
The
Achare means a while after.
While after.
Parshim said, why is this Tazri Mitzorah after Shemini, before Achare Mos? They darshan, you know, that after Vayido Maron, God didn't want to criticize Achare and tell him what happened yet. Let him cool down for a while. Sometimes it's not good to talk right away. If at the moment he had criticized Aaron right then, Aaron might have, it wouldn't have been Vayido Maron, but he might have said something that he would regret later. So Hashem let him stew a little bit and let him collect his thoughts. And then he said, by the way, I'd like to talk to you.
Very good. Who says this to you, sir?
Rabbi Alfred.
Alfred. Very good. Okay, Pasik Ches. Pasik Zeles. Pasik Ace Lehal Veaceless. No, there's a time to love and a time to hate. Eis milchama v'eis shalom. So the Targum says, Eden b'chid is a chosen time, lim racham chad l'chavrei. You shall love your friend. Eden b'chid is a chosen time, lim misnei l'gvar chayava. To hate an evil person. If you see your enemy, that he is, his donkey has collapsed. How are you allowed to have an enemy? So the answer Chazal is, he did an Avera. You know you're an Eid Echad. You know for a fact that he did an Avera, but you're only one witness. So you can't go to Bezdin, because going to Bezdin would accomplish nothing. It would be nothing more than Lashon Hara. But you are allowed to hate him until he does tshuva. So you do have a situation where you are indeed allowed to hate a person when you know for a fact you're an eyewitness to them doing an Avera.
How does a person know
that he did tshuva?
What?
How does one know the other person to
chew
it? That's
an internal. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it depends on the situation.
I would mean in the Gemara is that maybe you could say, and then if it's already spread, somebody else might come forward at that point in time. But that's why the halacha is that two Edom have to be able to see each other. So if he knows he didn't see anybody and nobody else saw him, even if two guys come together, if the Edom couldn't see each other,
it's not going
to
help.
They're going to tell the truth. So that's why the Edom have to see each other. That's the pshat in the Gemara based on what you said.
If the person who did the Avera is
So maybe you're dealing with a situation where you see him continuously to do the Avera. I guess the person continues to do the Avera. You know, you saw him smoking on Shabbos, and he's smoking the Shabbos, and he's smoking, it's going on already for years. So you have to assume that he stopped doing the Avera. You don't have to assume that if he's doing this for such a long period of time. So then you're allowed to hate him, and that's what the pasuk of the eighth level. There's a time to love a person because a good person. There's a time to hate a person, obviously because he's called the targum calls him because he's the gvar chayava. He's a guilty person. You're not just hating him for no reason. The targum adds there's a reason why you're hating him because he is guilty. Eden mechid there's a time le ogocha kirava. There's a time to arrange war. Kirava always means war. And the word le'ogacha means to arrange. Eis milcha means la'aroich, like la'aroich milchama, to go out to war. The Eden Bechir, there's a chosen time, le'mevad shalama, there's a chosen time to make peace. What did Rashi say on this pasuk of peace? He just said, Hashem. This was not referring to a human being, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at times loves us, and at times hates us. You can't live with them, and you can't live without them, right? Is that expression? You can't live with them. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are doing Hashem's will. He loves us. Sometimes we are not doing Hashem's will, then He does not like us. Okay, so this is the basic pshat. We've gone through the Mitzudos, Rashi, and the Targum. Let me first quote you a couple of Midrashim, then we'll do some other short ideas. Let me see what we got over here. Going back to Paragimel, okay, there's a time for everything. Lakol Zaman the Ace Lakol Chavis. The Targum interprets this in reference to entering. So now we're going back to a fourth machzor. Okay, we did already Mitzudas, Rashi, Targum. Now a fourth machzor. Fourth machzor, these are Midrashim. Some Midrashim. Lakol Zaman the Ace Lakol Chavis. The Medrash says it refers to the time to enter the Teva. That's what it says. Hoya l'noyach likones l'teva. There was a set time. Zman hoya l'noyach likones l'teva. Shenema bo ata v'chol beischa el ha-teva. And there was a time for Noach to leave the Teva. Zman hoya lo sheyotza minena. Shenema tse min ha-teva. Now obviously when the Medrash is telling us, it's a very deep idea. It's telling us that in this world sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us away from a churban that's about to happen. We all know that in our own lives, you know, let's say you're in a certain place, you're in an environment, and you have vacation. So you can take vacation whenever you want. You happen to take vacation on a particular day, and on that particular day you took vacation, something terrible happened. There was some major scandal. There was some major fight, and the FBI came in and swarmed the building, and they took away everyone's files. And Baruch Hashem, you weren't there on that day. That day you had good mazel, you were not there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared you from what was going to happen. And then there's a time when you have to come back. So the Mabul was the churban of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away Noach right before the world was charav. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Noach back after the churban was over. That's what the Zman, Lakol Zman, the Zman was to leave. Zman hoyel noyach likones l'teva, and then there was a zman sheyotza mimena tse min hateva. Okay, then we have another example, another medrash that says this. The Torah makes a point of telling us a set zman for the bris milah. When Avraham and Yishmael had a bris milah, be'etzem hayom hazeh nimol Avraham Yishmael beno. Set time. I don't think we have an appreciation of why it was at that moment in time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that they should do the Bris Milah. Okay. Adam, it says the Medrash, was expelled from Gan Eden at a set time. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. Okay, let's go to another Medrash. Okay, Lahash Lechavonim, we already discussed, that refers, according to the Midrash, to the Luchos, the Shviras HaLuchos, a time when Moshe decided it was the right thing to destroy, break the Luchos, and there was a time when Hashem told him, Kino Savonim, Psol Luchos, Shnei Luchos Sabris, I want you to go and prepare two new Luchos for the second Dibros. Okay, let me share with you some other short ideas. We know there are 28 Itim, 20 to 8 times it says from Pasik Beish to Pasik Ches the word Ace. But there's a 29th time. And that's the very first pasuk. The first pasuk begins, Lakol Zuman, the Ace L'chol Chifetz Tachas Hashemayim, for a grand total of 29. So the Medrash says it corresponds to the 29 days of the month. A month has 29 and a half days. So I guess a half a day we don't count because it's only a half a day. Maybe that's the Zman. The Zman is the other half of the day. But in a month, that the time is calculated in periods of 30 days. A month is the most complete unit of time. The cycle of the moon, when the moon wanes and waxes, that is called Zman. And in that those 29 days, all of these tekufos, according to the Medrash, make an appearance. These are the primary, that's why there are a total of 29. Okay, another idea why there are 29 is because every day there are four parts to a day. What are the four parts to a day? There is from Alois HaShachar until Chatzos, from dawn until midday. Then there is part two, from Chatzos Hayom, from midday until sunset, or until Tzeis HaKochavim, until evening. Then there is the beginning of the night until Chatzos Laila. Then there's Chatzos Laila until Alois HaShachar. So every single day has four parts. How many days are there in a week? 7. 7 times 4 is 28. So when it says here there are 20, the reason why Shlomo HaMelech is making mention that there are 28 Itim is because Hashem created the world in 7 days. Every single day has 4 parts. And in the totality of Maisa Bereishis of Zman, you will find 28 times. Okay, that's another idea. Now this idea is a very beautiful idea. This is a Medrash. And a lot of Darshan have expanded upon this in many ways, but I'll just give you, I don't have a clarity.
Torah brings a lot of this
down. A lot of these ideas. Now the following is a very interesting idea. We know that we all are brainwashed that there are 7 days in creation. But the Medrash says, don't read the Torah too literally. Don't be too literal. The truth is there were only 6 days of creation. And each day of creation had 28 hours. Don't be fooled into listening to all the scientists that tell you there are 24 hours in the day. But if you're going to believe that, you might actually believe that the sun, that the earth goes around the sun. I mean, who would be so foolish to believe the earth goes around the sun? Everyone knows that the sun goes around the earth. So don't believe everything you hear. The truth is there are 6 days in creation, and each day had 28 hours.
How many hours did Shabbos have?
There was no Shabbos.
There was no Shabbos.
Shabbos did not exist. Hashem made a world. Adam lo amol yulad. Man was created to work. The bria was that man should work. There are 6 days of creation, and there are 28 hours. Hashem then, at the end of creation, man was meant to work not continuously from the moment he's born until he dies. Hashem, after 6 days of creation, decided, you know what? It would be a good idea that there should be something called Shabbos. But it's too late. Creation is complete. So Hashem made the first appeal. Hashem conducted an appeal, and he said, 6 days of creation, are you willing to give up from what I've given you for Shabbos? And each day, which had 28 hours, gave over 4 hours. So 6 times 4, so they were all reduced from 28 to 24. And Shabbos now has 24. So this is what it says in the Medrash. Okay, so again, the originally creation, Adam la'omol yulat. You're saying there's a lot to dash. One step at a time. You're saying very good, very good. But the Iker Hadin, there was 6 days. It makes sense. 6 days is to work. You're only here to work, you to accomplish. That was the cycle, 28 hours. And then there was a truma. Every day gave up from its time 6 hours to make a Shabbos. It's four hours. And we reduce from 28 to 24, and Shabbos now has 6 times 4, 24, so we have Shabbos. You know, it's very interesting if you scientifically, everyone is into, you know, the Big Bang, evolution, how did the world come about? So it's a very big, it's all a very big mystery to us, creation. Was the first day, were the 7 days of creation 24-hour periods of time? Or maybe the each day of creation, some suggest, were millions of years. We don't know. These are very big mysteries in creation. How did the world come about? Did the world start from one central location, Eretz Yisrael, and expand? Or did the world start from outside and come and expand and come into the sin? The Gemara that has a machlokes how the world came about. But scientifically, it's very interesting when you answer the equation scientifically, then maybe there really were only, I mean, I'm talking about scientifically, it also has to be added this chazal. There were only originally 6 days of creation, there's only 6 elements in creation, and from those 6, there was some type of expansion or some type of separation in time where each of the 6 days gave away from it to other areas of this world, which created what we call Shabbos, both in time and in concept.
There was no time. Until the sun was in the sky, there was no
there was time. The concept of time.
So it's a theoretical idea.
What? Hashem, no, just the opposite. The pasuk Chazal say Hashem vayanicheu b'gan Eden le'ovdo u'l'shamra. To work. There was no Zeya Sapecha. Okay. There was no Zeya Sapecha, but man was put in the Gan Eden, Lo'ovda u'l'shamra.
If Adam wouldn't have sinned,
yes,
there wouldn't have been an Olam. They would have been just
Adam and Chava.
He would have been the gardener of the Gan Eden.
Not necessarily. That's not necessarily. Hashem created Olam Hazeh. Hashem created Adam and Chava and all of the animals, all the creatures, and Hashem put Adam in Gan Eden le'ovda u'l'shamra, to work Gan Eden and to guard it. What exactly does that mean? We have no idea. Then Adam sinned, and through his sin came death. Came the curse, Zeh Sapecha, the Etzev Tel Divonim, many things. Some Amar Chazal suggest is that there was no mitzvah pre or revia before the Chet of Adam. The whole world, according to one opinion, was created just for Adam and Chava. Just Adam and Chava, and that was it.
That was it.
It was their world. And only because they have sinned and they brought death, they would have to die. That requires there be a replacement. How would there be a replacement? They would reproduce.
Right.
But then you and here we are today.
But then you have the reason for Shabbos.
What?
Then you have the reason for Shabbos. If he wouldn't have sinned, he would just have.
Okay, that's all part of this big mystery. When did Shabbos come into play? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the value of Shabbos. I don't know. There's a very interesting article in the Sunday Times, Oliver Sacks.
Yeah,
called Sabbath, the day of rest. I don't know how many of you said that, but that was
what did it say?
Article. He grew up in a religious family.
No,
he became non-religious in college.
Part of it, but don't.
He was contacted. He found out that Professor Altman in Israel, the one who won the Nobel Prize, is a cousin of his, and he started making inroads to get him back into the family. And then he spent Shabbos. He went back to Israel. He had said to himself years ago he had spent time in kibbutz as a teenager. He said he was never going to go back. He went back a few years ago, and he was being his family sort of makarai him. Then he spent Shabbos with them, and he understood the amazing value of Shabbos. And then he actually ended up saying, not only Shabbos being the seventh day of the week, but also he's writing, he's dying of cancer. And he's writing how he's at the end of his life, and he goes, maybe Sabbath is like the seventh day of my life, in terms of just reflection and understanding.
Now here's the big mystery. I once saw, I came across this, I don't even know where I can find it, but Pinchas Friedman, he has a lot of Sfarim. I don't know where he has this idea. He asked the question, okay, very good, we have this Chazal, that Hashem created the world in 6 days, 28 hours. Hashem asked for a donation. Each day gave 4 hours. each day has 28 eaten. That is why it says here in Kohelis there are 28 eaten, because this was the original, not 24. There are 28 hours in a day. So now, which eaten were given to Shabbos? If every single day has 28 eaten, and let's say you're Sunday, and Hashem is making an appeal, can you please donate something in honor of Shabbos? What are you going to give Shabbos? Eis l'sno, a time to hate? You're not going to give Shabbos hatred. You're going to give Shabbos mulchama? What are you going to give Shabbos? How about shalom? Oh, Shabbos shalom. Oh, that makes sense. How about dancing? Eis rikol. Well, Shabbos is not allowed to dance, right? You may come to play musical instruments. So he has an idea. I don't remember what he says. He figures out which one of the 28 times was given to Shabbos. I remember vaguely. I didn't like what he said. not that he needs me, Chas v'Shalom. But I think what he tries to point out is there are certain things here that are different than the other ones. For example, some are missing the lamets. There are five etim from the 28 that are missing the lamets. The last two, Eis Milchama, Eis Shalom. There is no lamet. Then there's Eis Rikod, Eis Sifod, and Eis Kinos Avonim. I think those are the five that are missing. Eis.
The seventh for Elohim. I mean, you mentioned this in a previous year, by the way.
Yeah.
That there are 28 letters in the Pasuk Gracious for Elohim.
There are 28 letters.
28 letters in the Pasuk, and there are 7 letters in the Pasuk for the 7 days of the week. For the 28 Etim, there's 28 letters in the Pasuk. And Yahish Mei Rabba is also
28.
So that's the Malachim.
The 28 corresponds to the 28 Etim, the number 28. It's a Koyach. Koyach mas of Higiliamo. Okay, the Kodesh Rech created the world as Koyach. Koyach is 28. 28, these are the 28 primary. So there are 5 here in this list, 28 that are missing. They're missing the letter Lamed. So I think he says something along the lines that it has to be that these are going to be the 5. Now, listen, only 5, only 4. Tais and Shabbos. And also, Tais, in addition, there was also an illusion. Now, how do they fit in? That's very, very forced to figure out. I mean, Shalom is an obvious candidate, right? Shalom is Shabbos Shalom. And Ace Lechel to eat, Lehov to love. Okay, and you talk about Ace Ledaber, Vedaber Dover, Vedaber Dover. Okay, it's Lishmar, there's Shmira. Okay, you can play around with it, but it's an interesting idea that there are 28, and from 28, 4 have been selected. Okay, another interesting idea, why is it that there is no Lamed for Ace Sefod and Ace Rikot? There is no Lamed. This is a very popular drush. Lamed stands for Limud, to learn Torah, to learn. Chazal say, Nevatlim Talmud Torah, you're allowed and you should be mevatel Torah in order to bury the dead and to get and to participate in a wedding. So therefore the lamed for sifod and the lamed for rikod are absent, because you're not supposed to learn during those two periods of time. Okay, the other two that are missing is the end, eis milchama v'eis shalom. So before, I just want to point out that it's never a time Lilchaim Velishlam. There's no such thing in this world as a time to go to war. That doesn't exist such a mitzvah. It's not, if you have the lamed, there's a connotation that you should want to do something like that. You should never ever want to go to war. War is only in response as a last resort. Almost everything else in these psukim is something which you do, you should aspire to. You should, okay, of course, we have to deal with the other ones. Kenosavanim, what?
Only the positive ones.
Only the positive ones. So even the negative ones sometimes also have value, the negative ones. I mean, the 14 negative ones. But Mulchama, that is something you never aspire to. That is only something that happens, unfortunately, by default. Ace, it's a matter, it should be the default. It's not a matter that you should aspire. It should be the default. Leah has a connotation, it's not all the time. It goes both ways. I didn't explain. It goes, the Lama means I'm an outsider and I aspire to achieve peace. Don't aspire. Your existence should be an existence of peace.
He said, talking about the future as opposed to the past. In other words, Ace Kenos Avodim V'Ace Lehashlich Avodim V'Ace Kenos Avodim. Even though there's a time to throw stones, so to speak, don't go collecting the stones so you have them ready when you want to throw them. Like, you know, Ace Kenos Avodim. So if they're there, you have it, you know, you can keep them. But don't go around collecting the stones to prepare to throw them. And the same thing you have later, Ace Milchoma, after the war took place.
Yeah.
You should know that there was a reason for it. There was a time for it. But not to prepare for war. Not to say, well, I think it's time to get ready to go to war. But after the fact, then you could say God had a purpose.
Okay.
So it's in the past tense.
Okay, now a few short things to finish up. Ace Sifod the Ace Rakod the Maloy Ha'imer. You want to give me the same for the Maloy Ha'imer? He has says that refers to Yimos HaMashiach. And Yimos HaMashiach Hazal said that they're going to slaughter, is going to be the ultimate hespit. Who are they going to be maspid when talking about Mashiach? They're going to be maspid the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, the Gemara Masechta Megillah. They're going to slaughter the Yetzer Hara. They're going to have the Sudas Leviathan and slaughter the Yetzer Hara. And at that point, there's going to be a Mechol La Tzadikim, a dance for the Tzadikim, and Hashem will be in the center. Everyone will point to the center and say, Zek Heli Vyandveu. So this part, this expression, Sifod and Rikod. The reason why there is no Lamed is because it's not referring to this world. Lamed has a connotation of you are aspiring to achieve this in this world. This is an expression which alludes to what is going to take place at the time of Mashiach, when Hashem will slaughter the Yetzer Hara, and a eulogy will be delivered, and the Klal Yisrael will then rejoice in the Mecholat Tzadikim. Okay, another idea of Lakol goes back to the beginning. Lakol Zman V'Eis L'Chevet Sachas Hashemayim. This is a very powerful idea. Just a Mar Makayim. Popular Medrash when Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini No Es Kivoydecha. Hareini, I want to see your glory. I want to see what you look like. So Hashem said to no. The answer is no. The Medrash comments on this pasuk. Moshe, I gave you an opportunity to see me in the past and you rejected it. By the snare, Hashem said to Moshe, Hashem at the snare, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have the pasuk from which we would die from, where Moshe Hashem there offered Moshe Rabbeinu the opportunity to see his honor, and Moshe said, no, thank you. Shlach no biatishlach. Moshe did not want to see. Moshe, and therefore Hashem says, you don't want to see? Now, when I wanted you to see, you did not want to see. So now, when you want to see, I will not allow you to see. From this is what the Mepharshim tie into this pasuk, La'kol Zeman, the Eis L'chol Chevetz Tachas HaShemayim. You only get one chance. In life, there are opportunities. And if you miss the opportunity, you miss out. That's it. You missed out. You missed the train. And there's no, you have to be extremely careful in life not to miss the right opportunity. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, he lost the opportunity. Vayar Hashem kisar liros. He turned away. He turned, Hashem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to look. Moshe had that zman, he let it slip by. Later in life, when he wanted it once again, too little, too late. Every person is the same. Every person, Hashem is giving them opportunities at certain points in time. If you're not ready and you don't take advantage, it's a mu'uvah sheni yachal liskon, and that's what the pasuk here means. La kol zeman, the ace l'chol chayfetz. It's a one-time shot. You got one chance. Don't squander the opportunity. Okay, another idea. Okay, this is the mashal. Ace Sifod, the Ace really is Ace Sifod, the Ace Rikod. We've said already a few ideas. It's a time to eulogize and a time to rejoice. Mashal, Lama Hadavadaimeh. twins. There are two twins inside the mother's womb, and they're developing 9 months. And the two twins, they're attached to each other. It's extremely dark, and they have no idea what's going on the other side. They have no idea. And they're there together, they chazik each other in this dark chamber in their mother's womb. And they live off a small amount of nutrients that are piped, tunneled into them. And then all of a sudden one day, one of the twins begins to escape, begins to exit. It's a very slow, painful process, but this little creature feels itself being plucked by the muscles of the mother. It's being pulled out of the mother's womb. And its friend, its fellow, who was there, their partners for 9 months. 9 months for an infant is a very, very long time. What's happening to my partner? My partner in life? Where is it going? And slowly, little by little, it gets plucked out, and the other partner is traumatized. I wonder if they ever did studies on twins, if they have a sense of trauma. Think about it. You go all the way back. They all tell us that everything that happens later in your life can be traced to your upbringing. All the people who have all these problems later in life, they claim it's they blame their parents, they blame their teachers. It's all because my nanny wasn't kind to me. That's why I became a serial killer. Because my nanny didn't show me enough love and warmth. Right? Isn't that what they say today? Maybe there's some truth to it. And if there, I don't know, and if there is some truth to it, so why, what about in the mother's womb? Maybe when there are twins, the trauma of seeing your companion be plucked, the one that goes first, maybe that has a very very difficult traumatic effect on the infant. Who knows? But what happens? Finally, the creature is plucked, and the other one, the brother, the twin, is all alone. And what does it do? It goes into a state of mourning. But at the time when this one is in a state of mourning, what's going on outside? When it's happening on the birth stool, everyone says to the mother, "Mazel tov. You get a mazel, you had a child." So that is a mashal for this world. When a human being leaves this world, we, the leftovers, the survivors, we mourn. What in the world happened to this pure neshama? Where did it go? But on the other side, in heaven, in the Olam HaEmes, what are they saying? They're saying, "Mazel tov. A new neshama has come to Shemayim, and it's a very big bracha for the Olam HaEmes. Has been returned to Shemayim." So that's what it means over here in the pasuk, "Eis sefod ve'eis rukod." At the time when we in this world are mourning, we're eulogizing the loss, we have to have emuna that on the other side, it's a time of dancing, it's a time of celebration, the hilula. This is a Rashbi, right? A Rashbi is the... It's better, the Yom HaMavis Yom HaVoldo.
The reason that's the...
Why is it no Lamed?
So we said what idea? Lam is because the lama means to learn. Maybe you went out, but lama means limud, to learn. So mevatlim Talmud Torah for atzos hames and for simchas chasam kala. So that's what the lama is missing. It was a very popular interpretation. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So I pretty much that I think covers the basic ideas that I prepared. So Mirzam, tomorrow we will go forward. Tomorrow we will go pasuk tes. Okay. Pasuk tes.